Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference. Here's your host, Joshua Tubbs.
Good morning. You are tuning into Community Matters on WPER. I'm Josh Tubbs. Well, today we are with Steve of Crossroads Transition Home. They're very similar to a lot of the drug addiction recovery programs that we usually have on the show. It is very, relationship driven. It is an extended program. And so I can't wait for you to hear all about this, because anytime that we can get a program that handles drug addiction and really changes the way that I feel we as Christians look at that, then I feel like that's a win against drugs. So without further ado, Steve, how you doing today?
Good morning, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. So it's great to have you on the show. So for the listeners who may not know, what is Crossroads Transition Home?
Well, good morning, everybody. First of all, I really appreciate the family here at WPER for allowing us to come in and share a little bit about the ministry. Crossroads Transition Home is a one-year men's residential discipleship program for guys dealing with drug addiction. And we really get guys from all over the place. So we sometimes people hear about us through other family members. We have connections with a lot of the jails in the community and as well. So we try to reach every guy that we can that is hungry for change.
Yeah. Well, how did Crossroads Transition Home get started?
Yeah, so our director, his name is Kerry Honey, and Kerry got saved through a program similar to this a bunch of years ago. He grew up in Baton Rouge, but I know it's not Baton Rouge. Anyway, he grew up there, got in a bunch of trouble, and moved to Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, where over the course of many years of addiction and gambling problems and other things that he dealt with there, even as a successful businessman running his own home remodeling and building company, found himself in a program like this where God just began to speak to him. And as he was growing in his relationship with the Lord, he began to feel the call of God to start something like that as well. So he moved to the Fredericksburg area in 2013, and over the course of a couple of years began sharing his vision and his dreams, and other friends were coming alongside him. So in 2017, Crossroads Transition Home was birthed.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I actually recently had on the show another transitional home that I think was in Louisa County. And it was interesting how they said that just having that type of ministry there, you know, really made an impact on the community. And so I love the fact that you guys are like where you are and able to help people who are transitioning. You know, like you said, you were connected with some of the prisons and stuff like that. And,
yeah,
you know, that is something that I feel is greatly needed in the community, is something for people who are, I mean, even leaving prison to be able to, you know, transition back into life.
Sure. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think a lot of times people don't understand is that addiction can hit any household, you know, and if we're not a part of that environment, if we're not touched directly by addiction in our own families, sometimes we can miss out on the reality of just how prevalent it is right here in the Fredericksburg community. And, you know, in 2017 in Spotsylvania, we had 20 deaths due to overdose. In 2018, we had 32 deaths to overdose just in Spotsylvania County. But in this region as a whole in 2018, we lost hundreds of people to overdoses. And so it's this is a disease that it doesn't just hit one socioeconomic class of people. You know, it can be in any of our communities, it can be any of our homes. And there are three of us who are co-directors working together. Of course, I've already mentioned Kerry, and then one of our other guys is Doug McVicker. Doug, again, is another guy who went through his battles with addiction and problems throughout his younger years. And when the Lord really called him back into a full relationship with him, he had met Kerry through their church, and just knew that this was a partnership that they that he wanted to be a part of as well. And so when after it got birthed, Teresa here at the radio station introduced me to Carrie, and I fell in love with the ministry too because of my background is in addiction and stuff too as a young man. So anyway, we are just passionate. We, you know, we love addicts, and oftentimes the world will look at somebody that's in jail, and it's so easy for us to misunderstand all the events that got somebody into a dark place to reach their bottom. But our slogan is "Where Grace Conquers Hopelessness." I mean, that's what Crossroads Transition Home is all about. We use the love of God and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to help us to really bring guys into relationship with the Lord, because we believe that's the only place that addiction can be broken is in being transformed, you know, the Romans 12:2, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So so that's what why we care so much about this ministry right here in the Fredericksburg area as well.
Yeah. And you said it a couple of times, you know, it's anybody listening to this show, you know, for a while, anytime I talk with anything about addiction, you always hear that word. It's a disease.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I even just read on social media recently about how, you know, another country in the world is dealing with their drug addiction problem, and how what they're doing is actually working because they're not they're not, you know, criminalizing everybody for the fact that they're addicted. They're criminal. Sure. I mean, they're not doing that. They're treating it like a disease, and they're actually seeking these people out to get them help.
Yeah. Yeah, which is huge, you know. Most of the programs we have here in the States, if it's a secular program, it might be like a 30-day recovery process, and even then, oftentimes it's treated with psychology and medicine to counteract the addiction and try to get that change. But people don't become addicts overnight. You know, addiction is one of those things that happens over the course of a period of time, and of course, and in this day, in our culture of our day, the drugs that are being taken are concoctions of many different things. And once a person has started stepping over the line from alcohol to marijuana and then into some of these other things, oftentimes they don't even know what they're getting into until they've taken that first, you know, the first hit or the first shot of something or whatever that might look like for them. Those drugs become snares because the body begins to crave them even more. And so once you've hit that plateau of your life, it's hard to really go back. And so Christ-centered addiction recovery, for us anyway, is the answer, you know, when because we understand that a guy doesn't become an addict overnight, we also realize that recovery doesn't happen in a month-long program. It takes time. And so that's why we also have one. It's a 1-year residential program, you know, which it sounds like maybe you're the ministry in Louisa, and I know there's several others here locally that really believe in that kind of scenario, that it takes time to heal the addict's mind, to heal that disease, and to help somebody to work through where their mind has been at for all that time. And of course, as Christians, we all know that it begins by the change of the heart. You know, you have to start thinking about yourself differently and who you are and how God designed you and what his purpose is for you. So so that's why we work so hard to really help guys who really hit their bottom, you know. And even oftentimes their family won't take them back in, and they don't have any friends left. And you know, everybody's bottom is a little bit different, but when we can grab that one guy that says, "I'm ready for change," it is an incredible miracle to watch that transformation taking place.
Yeah, definitely. So. And I love to, you know, just the, like, how a transitional home, you know, really affects someone who is addicted, just because it's that, you know, every time I do interview, you know, anybody who deals with addiction, you know, one thing that I always find out is that a lot of what causes addiction is really that loneliness or some sort of mental health issue that they're trying to cope with.
Sure.
And I feel like, you know, putting them in a 1-year program where they are, you know, building bonds
yeah.
with other guys who yeah. have gone through the same thing they've gone through, and they don't feel like they're going to be looked down upon.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a comfortable place for them. And of course, we, you know, in the beginning, they want to share their entire story. You know, I mean, that's a part of manhood, is sharing your story. But what we help them to understand is that is just a small piece of the bigger picture of what God is wanting to do in their lives. And so, like many of the other transitional programs and ministries that are out there, we've actually set ours up into two phases. The key word, I guess there's two keywords here, right? There's crossroads, which we all kind of have an understanding. It's the intersections where decisions are made. And then the transitional part is we really want to get guys from that place of brokenness to a place of being just a really healthy guy who loves the Lord and who's successful in business and in life and restored, if they have families, to be restored back into their families and things like that. So we have our program is a two-step program, and they're in for the first phase of the program is a 4 months long, and we just really pour into them God's love. We extend to them an understanding of who we are, where we came from. We do lots of Bible studies, and now we're working on a ministry that is probably familiar to some of your listeners called Living Free. Mm. And so once they complete that first phase of the ministry, then we promote them into the second phase. And then during the second phase is that transitional kind of time for them. That's where we're sort of evaluating where they are, what their needs are, where they see themselves when they leave the ministry, you know, kind of some of their dreams. And we have them write all that stuff down so that those last 8 months, we can really help get that guy to a place that when he leaves the program, that he's capable of either having a good, healthy relationship with his family back, or potentially having his own place, or maybe getting a car, you know, just the things that seem normal to most of us. But many of these guys have lost along the way. Some of them, and I guess that's the other part of this, you know, sometimes we think about the addict as somebody who's just been a mess their whole life, but the reality is a lot of addicts used to have six-digit figures, and things happen in life. You know, they were white collar workers as well, and so it's not just relegated. The problem's not just relegated to guys who grew up in a dysfunctional home. There's all kinds of circumstances leads guys to addiction, and so really our whole purpose and plan is to first of all bring them into relationship with the Lord.
Yeah,
but then secondly restore them back. You know, that's that transitional part. And in this kind of a ministry, it's tough. You know, there's guys that are playing the system, and then there's guys who come into our program and just really eat up what God is doing in their life and the transformation that's taking place. And even now, we have a guy that came to us from Wilmington, Delaware, and you know, his story is one of those stories where, if you were to watch it on 2020 or 60 Minutes, you'd be like, oh man, how did this guy get to this place in his life? But God is moving mightily in his heart. And we already are seeing the potential for him to really do well in life and to be restored back to his family completely, too. So that's the exciting part of this kind of ministry is when you can find those guys who want to own it, you know, for themselves, and they do everything the way they're supposed to, and so that's a good thing, you know. It's what we live for is those success stories.
Yeah.
So
now I would like to shift focus for a second, because you know we do talk a lot, you know, in these about, you know, and well, they get to a point where their family just doesn't want them anymore, and you know, my family has gone through that type of situation. And I mean, while they were my, you know, it was kind of my immediate family, but not exactly. I'm not really sure where they're classified in that, but you know, it still affected us in some way, you know, and I still kind of feel that a little bit because, you know, it is a situation where the family doesn't want to have anything to do with them.
Sure.
And so what kind of encouragement or advice would you kind of offer a family who's like, we don't want anything to do with that person, but they may be taking steps towards change, or really just how to feel in that situation?
Sure. No, that is a great question, because it's so hard, you know, especially as Christians, we are called to compassion, right? And it's who we are. When we understand the love of Christ and what he's done on the inside of us, it's our natural inclination to just want to love people to him as well. But there's such a fine line between helping and enabling. And I think for every family, it's probably a little bit different where that line is. So certainly, anytime I think about this kind of a subject, I always think about the prodigal son, you know, the parable of the prodigal son story, right? I mean, here was a guy who in the parable takes off. He's taken everything that his dad belonged to his dad that was a part of his inheritance. And we know that story. And I just love how when he gets to his bottom, he comes back and the father just right away comes and greets him. You know, he doesn't have to go to the father. The father comes to him. And I think when we're dealing with family members that are in addiction, while we may not understand why they chose that path, being able to still express love and care without enabling them to continue to live in that that lifestyle is really kind of a hard line. But I would say don't give up. Don't give up on them. When they're reaching out, we don't have to give them what they need or what they're asking for, but we can certainly love them. And that's where grace conquers hopelessness in any situation, right? It's to love people where they are. That's the Jesus model. He always loved people where they were, whether it was a tax collector, whatever that looked like, his ministry style was to love people where they were. Yeah, and he didn't enable them either. He didn't give them a way out. He didn't give them excuses. You know, he didn't pay their way out of stuff. You know, he just said, follow me, and I will do the work in you. And yeah. So when I've obviously we've had so many guys that have come through our program as well through the ministry, who have left. And it's hard, you know, because you want to fix them for themselves, but they've got to want it as well. So what we have found is we just try to stay in contact and say, hey, man, we still love you. You know, we're praying for you. And I don't know if that's a clear-cut answer to the question that you had initially, but really it is a matter of just loving them even in the middle of where they're at.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out how do I do that without making it look like I'm giving them permission to stay there or helping them to stay there, you know? So yeah, it's a tough one, especially when it's somebody that's in your family and you're having to live it firsthand. So, I know, even in my own life, I grew up in a really good home. My parents were solid people and good parents. And we went to church all the way through and I'll never forget the hard lessons I had to learn when I made the decisions to kind of run away from whatever it was I was running from and into addiction, and my parents having to make some of those tough love decisions. And you know, at the time, I hated them for it. You know, I couldn't believe that they were my parents and they weren't going to bail me out of jail, or they weren't going to, you know, pay for the best lawyer to get me out of trouble. And yeah, they were showing me what I needed, which was hard for them. You know, I know they probably had many sleepless nights wondering where I was at and stuff like that. But once I came to my senses, again, going back to the prodigal son, once that person, that family member comes back to their senses, I think they eventually realize there's an appreciation for how tough love worked in their life as well. So everybody wants boundaries, right? I mean, that's the studies show that kids need boundaries, but we all live in boundaries.
Yeah.
And so if you've got somebody, man, obviously, you know, as well as I do and your listening audience, that we have to fast sometimes and pray and be diligent to love them where they're at and not give up. And of course, once you find out about about ministries like ours, or the one in Louisa, or I know there's Zoe Freedom Center here. I'm friends with the couple that are birthing that ministry and others is connect, make the connections, you know. Don't let people just continue to be in that place without at least trying to help them find a place of restoration, because that's what we're in the business of doing.
Yeah. So we're coming up on our time. So how can our listeners get involved, whether it's through volunteering, you know, donating, if they want to reach out to you guys for, you know, a family member that they have or for themselves, how can they do that?
So Josh, if obviously we would love to see folks partner with us and the most important partnership that anybody can provide would be in prayer. I mean, we are working towards trying to restore guys that have really hit a bottom, and it's a tough ministry. So please keep us in your prayers. Secondly, if anybody that's listening to this happens to be interested in this kind of a ministry, on Friday night, November 1st at 7 o'clock, we're going to be having a volunteer informational meeting. It's about an hour from 7 to 8 o'clock. The address is actually, it's right on Route 3, right around the corner from WPR's radio station. And the address is 4622 Plank Road. Zip code is 22407. We are looking for ministry partners in so many different ways. So, you know, if somebody's available during the day to help out with driving guys to doctor's appointments or probation visits or whatever those things might look like, we can use drivers. We're always looking for people who are willing to make a meal for the guys, maybe once a week or once a month. We also potentially are looking for educators, Bible teachers, things of that nature. In some cases, it's substitutes. And there's a wide variety, really, of needs. The other thing that I would say is we're also looking for opportunities to share about the ministry in churches. So if there's a pastor that's listening this morning, that's interested in hearing more about us, or somebody that maybe you think your pastor might be interested, we would really love for you to call us and let us know that you're interested, and that way we can maybe come and set up an appointment to meet with the pastor and potentially just raise awareness in the local churches as well. So for more information, you can call the director's phone number is 732-407-5765, or you can go to crossroadstransitionhomeva.org and learn more about us there as well.
All right. So I got one more question for you.
Sure.
So with everything that you guys do, you know, with this ministry and helping these guys out, why does it mean so much to you?
Oh, man, that would take hours and hours. So let me give you the nutshell of this. In 1983, I should have died from a drug overdose. And while it may seem harsh to some of our listeners, the reality is I would have been separated from Jesus forever if I had died in my overdose. And when God rescued me in 1992, I knew that I would spend the rest of my life trying to make a difference with men, women, and children who are bound in that environment, because I've seen what God has taken me from and allowed to take place in my own life. And so I am so passionate about this ministry, and I tell you, to find partners that would be willing to come alongside us in a variety of ways would really... You know, there are times where we don't really know the impact of our influence, right? And I think sometimes God even sets it up that way so that we don't get boastful or prideful about ourselves. But, you know, when we find partners that have the same kind of passion and same kind of concern as maybe what I have or Carrie or Doug for this ministry and for these guys, you know, there's going to be people in heaven that I think will be there because of our obedience and our willingness to overlook the addiction and look at the heart of the person that God is trying to restore. Because that's where those partnerships come into play, right? I mean, it's when we see the potential for somebody to really change. And I guess the part two, and this is, you know, I'll kind of leave it here. The part two of that is the generations that follow, you know. So for every guy that we rescue, every guy, not that we rescue, that the Lord rescues through us, the impact on their not only their kids, but potentially even their grandkids and following is tremendous. And so every life matters to us. And so anyway, I appreciate the fact that you guys are willing to allow us come in and highlight a little bit about what God is doing there. We certainly are looking for ministry partners and church partnerships. And so thanks, Josh.
Thank you for coming out. I really appreciate you being here.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for highlighting the ministry for us.
Well, as he said, you can go to crossroadstransitionhome.com, find out all about how you can get involved. Check out their upcoming events. Like he said, they're always looking for pastors. So if you are a pastor or you know a pastor that would like to reach out to this ministry, then definitely go online, give them a call. All their information's right there, and you can find out all about how you can get involved. If you'd like to volunteer for them, then they've got that meeting coming up as well. So go online, crossroadstransitionhome.com. Well, I want to thank everybody again for tuning in to Community Matters on WPER. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can always email me at josh@positivehits.org. That's Josh, J-O-S-H, at positivehits.org. This show will be posted on our website. You can go to WPER.org. Click on resources at the top of the page and then click Community Matters. It'll be the first show to appear. I will include the full show and also Crossroads Transition Home's website URL there as well. That way, you know, if you're driving, you know, you got a while to go, you know, it'll be hard to remember everything. So it'll all be right there for you to find out as much as you want to find out. So yeah, go online, WPER.org. Well, I want to thank everybody again for tuning in, and I hope everyone has a good and safe rest of their weekend, and stay safe on the roads.